Going through the book of Philippians on Sunday evenings. And so this one, we're in the rest of chapter 2. When I started this series, I wasn't sure how many lessons I would do to present the whole book. Only four chapters. We're just finishing up chapter 2, and we're on sermon number 7. So. But just taking a few verses at a time, the rest of the chapter, I'm looking ahead a little bit, and I think I can take a bigger section than what I've been doing. But in this one, Philippians chapter 2, verses 17 through 30. You can see in the outline, we're kind of put a subheading, or 3 plus Philippi plus God. So you have... you can see in the notes, Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. Those three, plus all the saints, Philippi, plus God. And all together, so I even put that in your introduction, all together, let's complete or complement our salvation. Kind of an example. You know, I prepared a sermon, someone else made copies of the outline. Someone else maybe even handed it out, presented it to you. And then the lesson is being delivered to the saints in Vero Beach, Philippi. And we pray. So it's God who works in us. You see, all of this works together. And so when we read about this congregation in Philippi, I want you to think about our relationship together and how we work together, one with another. Here's the text, beginning of verse 17. Paul says, "Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason, you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know of your estate." Verse 20. "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." Verse 25. "So yet I considered it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need. Since he was longing for you all and was distressed because you heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick almost to death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So therefore I send him more eagerly, that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such men in esteem, because for the work of Christ he came close to death, not regarding his life, to supply what was lacking in your service toward me." So we have almost a character study here, or at least, you know, a biography of the people involved in this ministry, from Philippi to Paul in Rome. So we have Paul, Timothy, and Epaphroditus. And then in chapter 1, verse 1, the letter's addressed to the saints that are in Philippi, the church or congregation there, and God. That's all of us too. We have individuals in the congregation. We have a congregation. And we have God. So there are really 5 of us also working together. So number one, we take a look at Paul. He says, "And if I'm being poured out as a drink offering," interesting phrase, We don't hear much about drink offering, even when we talk about the holidays or the sacrifices of the Old Testament. So from Zondervan's Pictorial Bible Dictionary, he gives a quote from Exodus 29. I put that in the notes. Yes. Exodus 29, verse 38, beginning there. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar. All right, here's the sacrifice, the drink offering. Here it is. Two lambs of the first year, day by day, continually. One lamb you shall offer in the morning. The other lamb you offer at twilight. With the one lamb shall be one-tenth of an ephah of flour. That's about, I had to look that one up, Bible measurements. Mm-hmm. Three-fifths of a bushel. Mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil. And one-fourth of a hin of wine as a drink offering. Mm. And the other lamb you shall at twilight. You shall offer with the grain offering and the drink offering. As in the morning for a sweet aroma. An offering made by fire to the Lord. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generations. There's a burnt offering. In other words, they made a sacrifice. And then with that the sacrificial lamb, once that was taken care of, then they would pour a drink, the hin of wine, on top of that. It was all a drink offering is associated. I didn't put these in the notes. You'll have to add to your notes. Leviticus 23, verse 13. So here you have the Feast of First Fruits. Then it says, and its drink offering shall be of wine, one-fourth of a hin. At the Feast of Weeks, these are all in Leviticus chapter 23. Different feasts are listed in Leviticus. Leviticus 23, verse 13, at the Feast of Weeks. You shall offer with the bread seven lambs of the first year, without blemish, one young bull, and two rams. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord, with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. You make your sacrifice of the animal and then pour the wine after. At the Feast of Tabernacles, verse 37, Leviticus 23. These are the feasts of the Lord which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything on his day. So Paul uses that illustration of this Old Testament drink offering to describe his relationship with the church in Philippi. So he says, after you've made your sacrifice in your daily living, your sacrifice to me over here in Rome, and if I'm martyred here, that's my drink offering on your sacrifice of faith, your sacrifice of ministry, your service to me. So, and he said, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. Be glad and rejoice with me. Kind of like two offerings. You're sacrificing, I'm sacrificing. They go together, and mine's like a drink offering. I follow you. Kind of like the Barney song, I love you, you love me. We're a happy family. That's the idea. All right. I didn't put that in your notes. one other one I looked at, and I forgot when I gave a lesson a couple weeks ago, about a month ago, on salt and light. And you realize there was even not only the drink offering after they made the animal sacrifices, pour wine, salt too. It was also poured on the sacrifice. It's in Leviticus 2, verse 13. And every offering of your grain offering you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant. There was a covenant of salt phrase in the Old Testament. The salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. So salt not only had the wine, the drink offering, but the covenant of salt. In Numbers 18, verse 19, all the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I've given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt. Forever before the Lord with you and with your descendants. So interesting. So we have all of these offerings that are listed in Exodus and Leviticus. you know, that they were doing throughout the year. And some, many of them were with all these offerings, you'd pour the hint of wine or and sprinkle of salt. Just a sidebar. So now I'll just go right to the conclusion. Paul said, I trust in the Lord twice. And I trust the Lord that I want to come. I trust the Lord I'll send Timothy. Yeah. So I just put it in Proverbs 16, verse 9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So Paul said, I trust in the Lord. I'm making plans. I want to come see you shortly. I want to send Timothy. Oh, but the Lord directs our steps. We make plans all the time. But you know, as James said in James 4, verse 13, you know, come now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into this city or that one and trade and get things. Or what is your life? You know, it's a vapor that appears for a little while. You don't know what's on the morrow, he says. And because of that, we ought to say, the Lord will. We will do this or that. But we still make our plans, God willing. So that's what Paul is saying. And next one is Timothy. Paul met Timothy on his first missionary journey in Acts chapter 16 and Lystra. And then in Acts 16 verse 3, Paul wanted Timothy to travel with him on the journey. And he did. So in verse 19, he says, I want to send Timothy to you shortly. So if Timothy becomes a letter carrier, which he is not, because he sends Epaphroditus in an emergency situation. So he says, you know, I want to send Timothy shortly, but he will know of your estate, and he will report back to me and provide good comfort to me. And that's always a situation. Would you go and look at this and come back? And Paul is almost saying, I know I'm going to hear good things. I already have when Epaphroditus came and with your goods to minister to me in Rome. So I now want to send Timothy, and when he comes back, I want to hear more good things about you. I hope when people describe us things like, you know, when Jim and Sharon were back in the New Hampshire, and you attended the congregation there, and they reported, we didn't send you to go there, but we reported back to us, I want to hear good things about churches and brethren in other places. Tell me how they're doing, you know, how they're working. That's what Paul is doing here, working together, all together now. No one is like-minded. You know, it's interesting, of all the saints in Rome, you know, that when Paul writes that letter to Rome, in the last chapter of Rome, chapter of Romans, chapter 16, there are 26 brethren that are mentioned by name in Romans chapter 16. Paul's writing the letter, I'm coming to Rome, greet these people. And he mentions many times about their stewardship or their faith, their laboring in the Lord, their diligence. 26 people. But here he's writing back to the Philippians now that he's in Rome. And these 26 or more, because it mentions households too. All of these brethren, he says, no one's like-minded. But Timothy. Well, Timothy was there on the missionary journey establishing the church in Philippi. Of course, Timothy has vested interest in the congregation. Timothy, he said, yeah, Paul does too. They were both on that journey. So, yeah, I have care and concern for you. So does Timothy. We journey together. Yeah, so no one, Paul's thinking of all these brethren in Rome, no one's going to match his regard for the church in Philippi except Timothy. I'm going to send him back. And the next phrase is, he'll sincerely care for your state. That's right. He has an interest in them personally. But you know his proven character. That's right. So Timothy would be welcome. You know him. So maybe that's why Paul uses another phrase after tells Timothy, who will sincerely care for your state, for they all seek their own. Maybe that's in comparison to Timothy's care and concern for Philippi. Because I just mentioned those 26 names when Paul writes his letter to Rome, greet these people in Rome before I get there, and he mentions all their labor, their work, their diligence. Oh, what's the comparison? What's the interesting phrase that he uses? That they seek their own. Now, maybe it's just in comparison. They didn't match Paul's care and concern. And then he has a phrase concerning Timothy. As a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. So I keyed on that word with. Paul doesn't say, oh, Timothy served me. No, that's not the phrase. Rather, Timothy served with me. So they were together in the missionary journeys, and they're together in the gospel. I'll give her an outline, whoever has the extras. And so the application is, we serve one another. It's a part, even though one person may be doing a particular task, but yet we're in this together. And that's the message we get from this letter to Philippi. Number three is the man Epaphroditus was necessary now. Y'all wanted to send Timothy. But you know, something came up. I need to send Epaphroditus right now. And then he look at the character study of Epaphroditus. You know, if someone's going to describe us, or give we're traveling somewhere and we need a letter of recommendation. You know, I used to do that when I was a youngster. When you would travel and maybe across country, you might ask your home congregation, "Would you give me a letter of recommendation to take with me in case I have trouble along the way? I can call a congregation where I'm at, and they might be able to lend assistance." Well, look at Paul. I'm sending Epaphroditus. I sure am. He's my brother. Emphasizes the relationship we enjoy in Christ Jesus. Family. Paul calls Epaphroditus my fellow worker. And Epaphroditus is not just Paul's fellow worker. We noted earlier in the letter, and even in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, we are God's fellow workers. All of us have a stake in this. You need to see that. I have an interest in the success of this congregation. And all of us need to say that. I have an interest in the success of this congregation. He's a fellow soldier. Reference to the Christian's warfare. And I just listed verses where Paul writes to other congregations in describing this particular phase of our Christianity, our Christian life. It's a warfare. He says he's your messenger. In other words, Epaphroditus was a respected member of the congregation in Philippi. Philippi sent Epaphroditus to Paul with necessary needs. It's in chapter 4, verse 18, where they come and he says at the close of this letter back to Philippi, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you." So they sent Epaphroditus with a care package for Paul while he's in prison. These are the things you might need. And then the next phrase of Epaphroditus, he ministered to my need. He fulfilled his task. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. Well, he went the second mile. The coat and cloak description of Christianity. He added a little more. He did more than what was expected. And that needs to characterize us in our ministry and in our service to one another. We minister to the need. What do you need? How can I help you? He was longing to see you all. So here he is in Rome, but he's sick in Rome. And now he's homesick. He was distressed because you'd heard that he was sick. You ever heard that phrase, deathly sick? That's Epaphroditus. He's the man, I'm here sick, but I'm homesick too, my brethren, the congregation. In verse 30 he says, "For the work of Christ he came close to death, and not regarding his life." So perhaps there were hazards in the journey itself. Maybe there's dangers along the way. It's just noted that he risked his life in this task, whatever it was. So the fourth one, so we see these three individuals, not only working as an individual, but together. And so now we want to look at God in the picture in number four in your notes, verse 27. God had mercy on him. Had a hand in his recovery. And then Paul says, me too. When God, when you took care of Epaphroditus, you took care of me. Because I was concerned for him. He came all this way to minister to my need, and now he's in need. Oh, Paul has this sorrow for Epaphroditus, so it's necessary. I need to send him back. He's longing for you. So, oh boy, this love and care for one another. Yeah. So Paul had sorrow. Maybe if Epaphroditus had died, boy, it would have been the phrase in the text, sorrow upon sorrow. So God is seen. He's visible throughout the letter, not just in this text, but it's interesting that it came up in this section of the text. And then the last one I want to point out, all of us working together, it's all of us. We see our individual ministry, our individual service and care for one another and going out and asking what do we need. Now, all together. So Paul says, so I'm sending Epaphroditus back. And he's carrying this letter. He said, when you see him, rejoice. Did you rejoice when Jim and Sharon came in?
Oh, yeah.
Saw their car in the parking lot? Oh, Jim and Sharon's here. Good answer, by the way. All together now. Yes, we did. We rejoiced when they came back safely from their trip. Rejoice. And it's always good to get together. But especially, after a long absence, or when you knowing someone has recently been rescued from danger. So when Epaphroditus gets back there, we heard you were sick. Oh, it's so good to see you. And it's that way when I go to these singings on the fourth Sunday, went up to the lakeside, the congregational singing out there this afternoon. I know so many of these people over the years that attend these events, and you're walking, oh, good to see you. Good, haven't seen you for a while, and we just catch up on things. And even at the end, when it came time to leave, there were a couple requests. Lauren Kuykendall mentioned his mother-in-law is having hospice care. He says, so he asked the congregation to pray for him. Pray for her. And then another lady came up and says, my husband doesn't attend. I don't know why she singled me out. Maybe she went making the rounds. And she came over and said, Brian, I want you to pray for my husband. He doesn't attend like he should. He knows better. But I said, it's just been hard at home. Would you pray for him? I said, sure will. Sure will. Yeah. So when people get together after an extended absence, how's it going? What can I do for you? Oh, it's so good to see you. Brethren, when Epaphroditus gets there, rejoice. Rejoice. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness. So recognize that his presence with them would be a gift from the Lord. God had a hand in his recovery. It says God had mercy on him. He was sick, deathly sick. And now Paul says, I'm going to send him back. James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow of turning. So recognize, we received him safe and sound. Thank you, God. Thank you. It's a gift from God. Hold such men in esteem, appreciate, regard highly, cherish, I put in your notes, think well of these people that are involved in various works, in ministry, stewardship, service, benevolence, building up, encouraging, whatever the ministry, hold them in high regard. So you look at this congregation in Philippi, not just, there's casual reading, and I know it's kind of like a narrative or a dialogue, but still, I want to take this section of text to heart. I would hope that these five things would characterize us. Okay. What we see in Philippi and with Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, we want that here. Care and concern. It's the example. All right, so next Sunday night, first Sunday night of the month. Don't forget, we don't have preaching. don't say amen too loud. we just have songs, the communion, scripture reading, devotion by a potluck, and just enjoy a meal together too. If you'd like to stay, you don't have to, but that's available for us next Sunday night. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing an encouragement song of invitation. Opportunity, if you have not made a request already, you can make that request. Just as those brethren I saw this afternoon said, Brian, pray for me. But you may want to respond in a public way and ask brethren to pray with you, pray for you while we're gathered here. Or if there's another situation that we can answer or meet your need with, that's what this time is for. So we sing this song as a time of reflection. And if you want to respond in a public way, do so while we're singing this song. So let's stand together and we'll sing this song together. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, have an expression.